an awesome song. You guys turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. I want us to read the passage that song came from. That's how we're going to start. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. Beginning with verse 22. It says, "That night Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And he sent them across the stream, and he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Verse 27, "The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you struggled with God and with men and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.' The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of his hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for the song that we sang, Lord, the passage that we just read, Lord, of Jacob wrestling with God till daybreak. Lord, I pray that as we examine this passage of Scripture, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls, Lord. Lord, that we would understand what this means, Lord, not just for Jacob, Lord, but selfishly to ourselves, Lord. And I don't believe it is selfish. I believe you want us to wrestle with you, Lord, and show us what that means for our lives. Show us what that means for every aspect of our lives, every relationship, every detail of every decision that we have, Lord. What does it mean to wrestle with you? What does it mean to have staying power? What does it mean to hold on? Lord, show us what it means to wrestle with you. God, I pray that we would have clarity of thought. Lord, that you would anoint your word in Jesus' name, Lord, that it would have life. Lord, that it would give life to us as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good evening, good morning. For those of you that are here tonight, we are taping the service on Saturday evening. We have about 25-ish people here this evening wearing masks. You guys look lovely. For those of you that are not here, you're watching on Sunday morning on either Facebook or live stream. We understand you weren't able to be here because you felt like you were in a high-risk category, or you didn't feel comfortable getting out yet, or you just weren't able to be here on a Saturday evening. Maybe you weren't able to drive at night or for whatever reason. This is our phase one of opening up our doors again. We're just taking a baby step. This is our first night of inviting people back. We're not sure how long we'll be doing it on Saturday evenings. We will certainly be doing it tonight And we're going to take it week by week, and we will certainly be letting you know when we'll be opening up our doors again on Sunday morning. We are very ecstatic. I certainly am ecstatic about having actual faces to speak to. Woohoo! So I expect you guys to amen it up and shout me down and things like that. It is definitely great. There's an energy in the room. Worship was amazing. Worship team, thank you so much. There's an anointing in the room. And so it's really good. We are continuing our series. Let me first say I've got my arm in a sling. You should see the other guy. Yeah, the doctor. Yeah, you should see the doctor. He got the better of me. Trust me. I had shoulder surgery last Friday, not yesterday, but the week before Friday, to get a bone spur removed. And things are going well. I get my stitches out on Monday. And so I'll find out what the recovery process is like on Monday. So thank you for your prayers. And we continue or actually end our series, Where Are You, God, this week. And so this week we're talking about wrestling with God. This is week 5 in our final week. And as we started with the song and then the passage that I just read from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32, we're talking about wrestling with God and what that means to wrestle with God. So now that we've read the passage and we've looked at it, I want to break it apart, to look at it kind of verse by verse as we normally do, and look at what exactly it means to us. What does it mean to Jacob? And so going back to verse 22, that night Jacob got up, took his two wives. Just real quickly, Jacob's story, if you remember, he was running from Esau. He duped Esau, his brother, his twin brother, but a couple of minutes before him, his elder. He was running from Jacob because he duped him too many times, and he was running from him, and so he runs to his relatives, and he gets married, and long story short, he runs with nothing to his name, and he leaves Laban, which is his father-in-law, with pretty much a small fortune, he has two wives and many children, and lots and lots of cattle and livestock, and he hears the voice of the Lord that tells him to go back to his land and go back to his people, and so that's what he's doing, and as he's going, he starts to fear Esau. He knows that when he goes back to his land that Esau will still try to kill him because Esau probably still is angry at him, and so this is where we pick up on the story, and he decides that he's going to break up his camp into two parties because he figures, or three parties actually, he figures if he breaks up, he will actually, at least if Esau destroys one party, at least some of them will be left over. And so he sends some of the parties ahead of him and along with gifts so that when Esau meets them, he can bribe him as he goes and then he will come at the rear and hopefully by the time Esau meets him, he'll be buttered up. And so he stays behind at the camp, and this is where we come to our verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not So a man wrestled with him until daybreak. We don't know quite who the man is. There's certainly some suggestions of who the man is. One of the suggestions, which I feel like has the most credibility, is that it is Jesus incarnate, or maybe you could say pre-incarnate, before he came as obviously a baby in Bethlehem and grew up to be a man, that this is Jesus, or you could say the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, when you hear the angel of the Lord, it's usually a pre-incarnate or incarnate Son of God, Jesus. And so it's most likely Jesus that he's wrestling with. And we knew, I already read the story, he wrestled with God face to face, and Jesus is God. And so it is most likely Jesus that he's wrestling with. What did he look like? Did he have a beard? Did he look exactly like the Jesus that was crucified? We don't know what he looked like. Did he actually have skin and blood and bones? And we don't really know, but we just see that it's a man that he wrestled with. That's the best way that he could describe him, that Moses, the author of Genesis, could describe him was a man. Another theory is that it's an angel of the Lord, but not the angel of the Lord. So it's not Jesus, but an angel. Maybe it's Michael or some other archangel, some other high being like an angel. Or perhaps maybe it is a way of Jacob saying, this is the dream that I had, which I feel like that's not a strong enough explanation of it. I believe that it is Jesus, the Son of God. He faced God face to face, that he actually wrestled with God. And the only way on earth that you would be able to wrestle with God face to face in the form of a man would be Jesus. And so the first thing I want to talk about is wrestle with who he is. We can't say without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, that it was in fact Jesus. But we can learn from this text that we must wrestle with who God is. If we're saying, who are you, God? If we are to wrestle with God, if we're to examine this and examine why is Jacob wrestling with this man, then we must wrestle with the idea, with the understanding of wrestling with who are you, God? If we're wrestling with a situation in our lives, with something we're struggling with, we must wrestle with who is he? Who is he in my life? Who is he? If you remember, Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then they said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets of old. And then he turns to them and says, but who do you say that I am? It's the same thing that Jesus is asking them to also wrestle with. I want you to wrestle with, who am I? And so likewise, I believe this is telling us, wrestle with, who is he? Who is he? I want you to turn in your Bibles now. Keep there, though, because we're going back, obviously, to Exodus 33. Keep there. I'm going to attempt to do so also with one hand. You never know how much you enjoy two hands until you only have one. Exodus 33, verse 18. This is when Moses says, God says that he's not going with them, and Moses says, no, you don't understand. I'm paraphrasing. You don't understand. If your presence does not go with us, we're not going. I'm not going anywhere. And so God says, okay, fine, I'll go with you. Then Moses says, okay, great, awesome, good, then we're going to go. But one more thing, I want to see your glory. So verse 18, then Moses said, now show me your glory. And glory means your fullness, your fulfillment. So glory is not just, oh, when he's saying, show me your glory, he's saying, I want to see your fullness. I want to see everything about you. Verse 19, and the Lord said, Exodus 33, verse 19, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. My name, the name includes his nature, his character, his person. So he's saying, I want to see everything about you. He's saying, I will cause my name, my character, everything to pass in front of you. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 20, but he said, you cannot see my face. Full disclosure, my full revelation. You can't see my face. for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you will not see, my back. So the back is the after effects of his radiant glory. The after effects of radiant glory. So you can't see my full countenance, my face, but you can see my back, the after effects of my glory. It's actually a Hebrew euphemism for where I just was. So Moses is basically saying, I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. I want to know who you are. I want to see your full glory. I want to see everything there is to know about you. And God says, I want to show you, but really, the only thing you can handle is where I just was. And so Jacob, as he's wrestling, as we're wrestling with God, as we're wrestling with who are you, as we even wrestle with Jacob, with the story of Jacob, with even who is he wrestling with, what we're really trying to understand even in our lives is, the best we can understand is where he just was, the after effects of his glory in our lives. That's all we can understand. The things that he has touched, we can look at and go, God was here. God was here. God healed me. I can tell it. He can heal me. He healed me right here. I can see it. I can feel it. There's a difference in my life. God healed my marriage. It was broken. I can see. It's the after effects of what he's done. He was just here where I just was. God was here. And we have to wrestle with that. He doesn't show us everything. And we have to wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with, why doesn't God show us everything? Why will he not show us his face? Why doesn't he want us to? We don't know all the answers. The only answer I can come up with is we couldn't handle it. He tells us no man can see his face and live. We have to trust him in that. We're not equipped. Our eyes aren't equipped. Our senses aren't equipped. We just couldn't handle it. All we could handle is for him to cover us and to see where he just was. And so as we're wrestling with who is he, even who we're wrestling with is where he just was. Okay, let's go back to the story. Genesis 32. Are you still there? Okay. Who he is. Okay. So, verse 24. So Jacob was left all alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. We have to wrestle with what he does. Why did he do that? Isn't that fighting dirty? He's God. Why did he have to injure Jacob? Why did the Son of God, if that's Jesus, let's just call him the man, if we can't 100% say it's Jesus, let's just continue to call him the man as Jacob is calling him, the man that he's wrestling with, why did he have to fight dirty? Have you ever fought that with God? Come on, God, why did you have to do that? I was already dealing with enough. Why did this have to happen too? We have to wrestle with what he does in our lives. Knowing full and well, this is what this whole series has been about. Knowing full and well that he's God and we're not. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts above our thoughts. That he knows the future. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows around the corner, whereas we don't. He knows how it's going to affect our neighbors, whereas we only care about ourselves. Ultimately, we do. We only really care about ourselves. As much as we love our spouse and our kids and our family, ultimately, we care about what hurts and what doesn't hurt. As much as we care about our family, ultimately, we care about us more than anything else. And God sees everything. And he knows how it affects everybody else. And that's, he sees the big picture more than he just sees us. And so we have to wrestle with that. We have to wrestle with what he does. Why did he do that? Why did he touch Jacob's hip? We know from the story that we read that he limped after that. Israel, that Jacob became, limped for the rest of his life. We know that when you wrestle with God, you're going to show it. It's going to be an indication in your life when you wrestle with God. It's going to be evident in your life that you have wrestled with God. People are going to see it in your life that you have wrestled with God. There's an indication in Israel's life that he wrestled with God. And so he had a limp. Why? We have to wrestle with that. Do you remember the famous poem, Footprints? Do you remember how this man sees footprints in the sand, and he sees two sets of footprints, and he's comforted that God walks with him always. And then he saw that in the terrible times in his life, there was only one set of footprints, and he thought that God left him. Do you guys remember the famous poem, right? And then God shows him that when you see one set of footprints, it's where I carried you. Great poem, right? And it's comforting. It's like, oh, wow, that's awesome, God. You carried me. And then here's the updated version of that poem. That long groove is where I dragged you kicking and screaming. That's what God does, right? Why does God sometimes drag us kicking and screaming? Because he has to. He has to because we won't go and do the things that we have to do. Why does God do the things that he does? Because he knows better than we do. He knows things that we don't know. And we have to wrestle with those things. So as Jacob is wrestling with this man, he's wrestling with things that the reader doesn't completely understand. Jacob understands them a little better than we do, but even Jacob doesn't understand. And that's why he's wrestling. And so as we wrestle with God, we have to wrestle with those kind of things. Why do you do the things that you do, God? So he touches his hip and it wrenches it and he starts limping. Then the man, possibly Jesus, said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." We have to wrestle with his timing. What does daybreak have to do with it? What's this magical daybreak? We don't know, but evidently, Jesus or this man, God, in this story, says it's time, it's done, the wrestling's over. It's time for you to get going. You have to go see Esau, and the wrestling is over with. It's time to quit, and now you've got a limp. This time is over. The timing is done. We have to wrestle with that. And it's never our timing. It's never the time that we want. We want it immediately. We want it yesterday. We want it when it's most convenient for us. We want it when it's going to be the least painful for us or no pain at all. We want it and we want it now. And it's always in God's timing. And we have to wrestle with that. And he's inviting us to wrestle with. It's something that he's inviting us to. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't ever want us to just suck it up and just say, okay, you're God and I'm not. I think that's something he wants us to get to as well. But maybe until we're not there, he wants us to wrestle with it. He wants us to wrestle with it until our faith level is there. The man said, "Let me go." We have to wrestle with what he says. Why did he say, let me go? I thought God doesn't want us to let him go. Doesn't he want us to hold on to him? Why is it so important for him to not let him go? It says later, when we continue to read, that he blesses him for wrestling with him. He blesses him for his tenacity, for not letting him go. He blesses him for continuing to be steadfast. So why did he tell him to let him go? We have to wrestle with the things that Jesus says. I said earlier about Jesus asking the disciples, who do men say that I am? What about all of the questions that Jesus asked? If you think of the Gospels, Jesus' ministry, he asked questions constantly. Let me tell you, Jesus was not after information. He didn't care about getting information from people. He wanted you to wrestle with what he just said. He wanted you to get it. He wanted to know if you were getting it. He wanted you to wrestle with what he had just said. Are you understanding the concepts? Are you understanding the parable that I just said? Are you understanding the teaching that I just taught? Are you getting this? Are you getting it through your thick heads? Are you understanding this? Or what about the times that he would say harsh things? He said to the Canaanite woman, or I guess it was a Gentile woman, that she was not privy to the food from the table, that she was a dog, and she could only have crumbs. Harsh words. There was other times that he would say really harsh things to people. Why was he saying this? Because he wanted to stretch people's faith. He wanted you to wrestle with the things that he was saying. And it makes you think about in today's society of the words that seem to be so critical and seem to hurt people so much. And now I'm not saying we should be jerks and be harsh to people. Please hear me. I'm not saying that. But what he was trying to do was make people wrestle with what he was saying. Do we wrestle with what Jesus says? Do we read Scripture and wrestle with them? Or do we just read them and go, well, I don't understand that, and just flip. Flip to the next page and go, well, I don't know what he's expecting of me. I'm not a theologian. Must not mean it's for me then. Or do we wrestle with it and go, Jesus, what does that mean? I don't understand it. Please speak to me. I want your Holy Spirit to speak words of life to me. This has to be for me because you're speaking it. What does that mean? That's what it means to wrestle with him. If we're really saying, God, where are you? And we have to wrestle with what he says. Just like Jacob had to wrestle with, whoa, 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 what do you mean let me go? You just broke my hip, or whatever. You tore my hip, or messed me up somehow. You made me limp. You're telling me let you go. You're telling me it's time. What does that mean? No, I'm not going to. Now you got to tell me what that means. Verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, Jacob here, at first blush, it seems almost like Jacob's going, no, 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 no. You just messed up my hip. You got to bless me now. You have to pay for this to get fixed. You got to bless me. It's not monetary. It's not bless me like give me spiritual gifts. It's not bless me like give me a new house. It's not bless me like you know, pour some sugar on me. It's not bless me in any, sorry, I don't know why that just came up. It's not bless me in any kind of way. Bless in Hebrew is barak, and it means to congratulate. It means to congratulate. He's saying, I'm not letting you go unless you congratulate me. I'm not letting you go until you tell me I won. What? Are you serious? This is God. This is God you're wrestling with, Jacob. If I was Jacob's friend, I'd be like, yo, stop with the brag. Dude, hey, X down the bracket. What are you doing? He said, I am not letting you go until you congratulate me. He wanted victory. Wrestle with victory. We've got to grab hold of God and wrestle with victory. Are we wrestling with victory? God wants us to wrestle with victory. What does it mean to wrestle with victory? What is victory for us? Victory is wrestling with what he says. Victory is wrestling with timing. Victory is wrestling with what he does in our lives. What does it mean for victory in our lives? What does it mean for victory in Jacob's situation? Remember, Jacob is scared to death. Jacob is afraid that he's going to lose everything. He's going to lose his family. He's going to lose his wealth. He's going to lose his life. He's going to lose everything that he knows in just a few moments when Esau finally catches up with him. And he's afraid. And he's alone. All of his belongings, all of his people, all of his wives and all of his children and all of his possessions are in front of him. And he's alone in this camp, most likely praying alone, and God shows up. And he's wrestling with who God is, what God is saying, what God is doing, and ultimately, what is victory in my life? What does that look like? What does that mean? And he's wrestling, and he's not letting go until God gives him victory. And at first, it looks like it's bold and it's brash and it's like, who do you think you are? But he's saying, God, I want victory in my life. When we look at it that way, it's not bold, it's not brash. Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we holding on to God and saying, no, I'm not going to let go until you give me victory? So it's not, tell me I'm the winner, that I'm the best. It's not, oh yeah, like a wrestling match, like tell me I'm the biggest, baddest, most tanned wrestler ever. It's, tell me I've got victory in you. Oh yeah. Tell me that I have found out who you are. Tell me that I have your spirit. Tell me that I'm in your presence. Tell me that I have found victory. We have to wrestle with that. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Verse 27. The man, Jesus, or the man, asked him, what is your name? He knew what his name was. But he's like, okay, so you want victory. You want your life changed. You want a conclusion to this. What is your name? Remember, a name is very significant, but most especially in these days. A name meant your character, meant your identity. It meant much more than just my name is Sean and your name is Don and your name is Ken. It meant identity and character and past and what you will be in the future. What is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. Jacob, the name Jacob in Hebrew means supplanter or clasps at the heel. If you remember the story of Jacob and Esau came out first, just barely, and Jacob is grabbing at his brother's heel. And he did that throughout their childhood. He was grabbing at his brother's heel, and he was trying to supplant his brother. Jacob could also mean deceiver. And throughout Jacob's life, he tried to deceive his brother, deceived him out of his birthright, deceived him out of his blessing from his father as well, which was more than just, I bless you. It basically was his inheritance. Deceived him. And Israel means exactly what it says here. Israel means he who struggles with God. And so he's saying, your name is now changed. We have to struggle with our identity. When we struggle with God, we have to struggle with our identity. Who are we? If we're struggling with who are you, God, we must then struggle with who are we. Because if we really find out who God is and we're struggling with finding victory in God, then it changes us. Just as Israel or Jacob wrestled with God and it shows by a limp, it will show when we wrestle with God. We too will have a limp, or we too will, there will be a difference in us. Our identity will change. There will be something different about us. We will deceive no longer. We will lie no longer. We will cheat no longer. We will steal no longer. Our old life should change. And so our identity changes, just as it does here. And so God renames him. The identity has completely changed because he struggled with God. Struggle seems to be like a negative word for us. If I say, Janet, how are you doing? And you're like, well, I'm struggling. It usually means a negativity. It usually means negative, like not doing so well. I've been struggling, and usually it does. But struggling with God also means I'm trying. I'm not perfect. I've fallen down, but I keep getting up. I'm wrestling. I'm struggling. I'm going after him. I'm struggling with God. Jacob said, verse 29, please tell me your name. Much like Moses. Moses is like, great, you're going with us. Awesome. Now give me all your secrets. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face. Now it's interesting that he says he saw him face to face, but Moses said he couldn't see him face to face. What does that mean? Does that mean that God loved Jacob more than he loved Moses? I don't believe so. I think it's figurative. I still don't believe that he actually saw the face of God. I think it means he wrestled with the human form of God, Jesus. And that was the face of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I think that's what it means, is that he saw Jesus. I don't believe that you can actually see the face of the Father and live as a human being. So that, I believe that that's what that means. I don't believe that the Bible is contradictory at all. The sun rose on him, and he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip. When we wrestle with God, there's a difference. There's a change in our lives. Could I have the worship team come up, please? The call of Jesus is about wrestling. It's not about settling for easy. It's not about settling for easy in our lives. It's about wrestling, which means figuratively and literally speaking, it's about sweating. It's about hurting physically. It's about our flesh grueling. It's about, at times, really going after it. But it's also about going unto him and finding our rest. It's about taking on his yoke because it's easy. It's about finding peace and security and identity in him. We have to struggle with the things that he says, the things that he does, his timing. We have to struggle with finding victory in him. In conclusion for this whole series, if we're looking for where is God, we have to struggle with this. We have to wrestle with these concepts, with these ideas. But we can't just give up because it's difficult. Because it will be difficult because we live in a broken down world. We live in a world where we have pain, where we have sorrow, where things aren't easy. That doesn't mean that God isn't real. It doesn't mean that God is not visible, not maybe in the way with our eyesight, but God is visible to where we can find him. If we search for him with all of our heart, we stand with him. That means you in your living room as well. Father, I just ask that you would teach us how to wrestle with you, God. Lord, I'm amazed at Jacob that maybe it was out of desperation that he continued to hold on. Lord, even when you caused his hip to be wrenched out of place, Lord, that he just would not let go. And God, maybe that's why at times you allow things to go wrong in our lives so that we would come to a place of desperation. God, my prayer is that it wouldn't take desperation for us to grab hold and wrestle with you, Lord. Wrestle for victory. Wrestle with who you are. Wrestle with what you say and wrestle with what you do. Lord, we want to know you, the power of your resurrection, and the fellowship of your crucifixion. Lord, we worship you, God. Lord, we ask that you would bless us here. Lord, you would bless us, Lord. Lord, you would barak us, Lord. You would congratulate us, Lord. You would give us victory over the things in our lives, Lord. The temptations that so easily beset us, Lord. You would give us victory, Lord, over the things that Lord, are holding us down, Lord. That give us victory over the things, Lord, that are in our lives that need healing, Lord. Victory over the things in our lives that have become gods to us. The things that are pulling us away from you. God, you would give us victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we worship you.